nothing in the world that I like better than bacon and lettuce and homegrown tomatoes. Up in the morning, out in the garden, get you ripe when you don't get a hard one. Plant them in the spring, eat them in the summer. All winter without them's a culinary bummer. I forget all about the sweating and digging every time I go out and pick me a pig. Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. To eat, and that's for sure, but it's nothing the homegrown tomato won't cure. Put them in a salad, put them in a stew, you can make your very own tomato juice. You can eat them with eggs, you can eat them with gravy, eat them with beans, pinto or navy. Put them on a side, put them in the middle, put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
Tomato seed, 'cause I know what this country needs. It's homegrown tomatoes in every yard you see. When I die, don't bury me in a box in a cemetery. Out in the garden be much better, and I could be pushing up homegrown tomatoes.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes. Homegrown tomatoes, what'd life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy, and that's true love and homegrown tomatoes.
All right, welcome to In the Garden. Support for In the Garden comes from The Flower Farm, who has trees available. Cherry, apple, katsura, mountain ash, golden chain, maple, dogwood, choke cherry, as well as lots and lots of colorful dahlias for the summer. Open for bouquet subscriptions for never-ending color, 10 to 5, every day except Wednesdays, 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing. And do I have you there on the line, Ed? Hopefully he can hear me there. Have I got you there, Ed? And have I got you there on the phone now, Ed?
I'm here.
All right.
You're kind of breaking up, it seems like.
Let's see. Well,
now you sound better.
All right. That sounds good. You're coming in loud and clear, too. How's everything going for you up there?
Well, we've got it's cloudy, overcast, cloud level is about 3,000 feet, light sprinkles, and we are certainly hoping for rain. Although it was nice today, we haven't gotten maybe a tenth of an inch, if that. So, creeks are very low, need rain, and at least, or I can wait until I finish harvesting my garlic would be fine too, but I may not have that choice.
Yeah, well, if it's any indication down here, you'll have plenty of rain before you know it. We're going to get soaked tomorrow. Well, speaking of harvesting garlic, I guess that's the theme of the week for you, huh?
It really is. Normally, I aim to have my garlic out of the ground around by August 1st. For several reasons, there's a couple of markets that were aiming for in late August so that I want to have the garlic cured, but also just looking at the garlic, watching it grow, seeing there's various indicators that tell me the garlic is mature enough to harvest. And part of the factor also is how much rain we get. Last year we didn't have a whole lot of choice in the matter, commercial garlic growers down in California, they say, stop watering your garlic, 4 to 6 weeks before harvest time. Well, usually we don't have that choice. We got lucky here, and it's been really nice getting it out of the ground. It's nice and dry. The skins, the key thing, the reason we want it to be dry is so that we have strong two or three layers of nice skins covering up the cloves, so that once we get it cured, it will store for the longest possible time. If we wait too long, soil is too wet, the clove skins rot away, and literally we can pull up what looks like naked garlic. There's no skins on them, and there isn't anything covering them. So then you have to use it very quickly, dry it out, and whether you're making garlic in oil and freezing it, or making chimichurri or some other thing, but it just won't keep well without having those skins,
right,
which protect the garlic cloves and stop it from drying out.
Well, maybe let's, so right now is the harvest, but let's kind of introduce the story of your garlic a little bit. Maybe we can kind of talk about what varieties of garlic you grow, maybe why you grow them versus, for comparison's sake, what a garlic grower in California might grow, or garlic you buy in the store here might be. And then kind of walk us through sort of the timeline that leads up to this week where harvest is happening.
Sure. So I started with some of this. One of the varieties of garlic I call Scotties. Actually, I got, 20-some years ago, or a little more than that, came from my father-in-law's garden back in northern Illinois. We were visiting, it was about this time of year, late summer anyway, down there. And there was a little bit, and they were tiny, but I figured, okay, well, we'll give them a try anyway. I'd just started growing garlic at the time. Brought them back, and they were tiny. I mean, they were, the bulbs were maybe the size of a quarter or less.
Oh my!
With tiny little cloves,
and I guess
brought those back.
One question I kind of cut in there real quickly is, like, generally, garlic is kind of cloned, right? You plant a clove rather than starting anything from seed at all, or right?
Yes, much like potatoes. Although potatoes at least form true seeds. You know, we've talked about that, where people have potatoes flowering now. Some of them will form these little greenish tomato-looking fruits from which you can grow seed or take seed, and you can plant that for seed. Garlic doesn't or seems to have lost its ability to flower. Or you'll get in the very rare flowers in the top of these capsules that form from the scapes that come up out of the hardneck garlic, which is primarily what I grow. So we have to use some good garlic. You have to get some garlic, buy it from the store, buy it from a catalog, or get it from some friend or relative or something like that. So you can grow it. And again, much like potatoes where we cut the pieces and plant them, well, with garlic, the season's a little reversed in that garlic is normally harvested, that part's, I guess, the same, late summer. But then we replant it along with tulips and daffodils in usually in October or so, and for then harvest. It survives the winter growing underground and then pops up in the springtime and takes off growing.
Right. Okay. So it acts like a bulbed flower.
Very much like a bulb, except, like I said, it doesn't flower. Now, something which is people think about and ask me about, elephant garlic, which is actually closer to the leek, is more of a type of leek. It does actually flower, has a nice big cluster of flowers on top, as do some of the other ornamental onions or alliums, too. So you can actually get seeds from some varieties for planting, and you can plant onions from seed also, as well as from the little bulbs or onion sets that you can buy in the springtime.
Yeah, that is interesting. So you started out with a small kind of 20 years ago, Scotties, as you said, and when you plant those cloves, do you then kind of pick out the best ones from harvest and set those aside for planting again, or how did you kind of develop?
Exactly. Yep. That exactly. I am doing unnatural selection, so I am trying to improve those that I grow, and of course we're choosing, you know, healthiest plants that may very well become more adapted to my soil or my garden or Juno Gardens or Southeast Gardens, whatever it happens to be.
That makes sense.
Because we have much wetter conditions than many other garlic-growing areas. I mean, Gilroy, California is extremely hot and dry in the summertime. I think the Gilroy Garlic Festival, in fact, is happening this weekend, which is a huge deal down there. But the garlic they grow, which is soft-neck garlic, the stuff you normally see in the grocery store, does not send up this hard center stem, or called a hard neck, that has these capsules on top of them. So you can buy braided garlic from that kind of stuff. The garlic that does best here, the different kinds of hard necks, are more cold hardy, but because they are so hard in that center, they don't braid well. You could hang them up as a bunch, you know, tied with string for curing or keeping. So that it's different in that way.
And do hard necks produce scapes and soft necks don't?
That is correct. A couple more differences. Hard necks usually have only, say, 3 to 6 or maybe as many as 8 cloves, much larger cloves. The soft necks usually have, 4 or 5 big cloves around the outside and a bunch of miserable little ones in the center, which are more difficult to peel. So the hard necks are nice. Again, they've got more flavor, much more flavor, and are easier to peel because they have larger cloves. And that, in some ways, that's a little bit of a drawback, though. Soft necks tend to keep longer because they have more skins on them to protect them.
Okay. And so I suppose that gets us a little closer to when, now that it's harvest time, is sort of defined on when the skin is ready, right? Like grown, but before it starts maybe rotting or pulling away or something like that?
Yeah, yes. That's pretty close. Basically, the way the garlic grows, they start out with as many skins, skin layers, as there are leaves. And gradually, those bottom leaves start to turn yellow or brown and die off. At the same time, the outer skins are, that comes from the original bulb, or I should say clove, that we planted last fall. So gradually those are breaking down, and we also can watch. So when those break down a certain amount, and the gardener can be doing some test harvesting to see how large the bulbs are, to see if they want to harvest them. But also watch if you don't remove the scapes on top that have grown up. We can watch those. First, they come up straight out of the center of the plant. Then they curl, one or two curls or coils, and then as they mature, they uncoil again. And so once they are pointing straight up again, that is definitely time to harvest. Now, mine, again, when I was looking at them this week, mine are kind of pointing off to the side. They're in the process of straightening, but they're not quite there yet. I don't feel that they would gain any great amount of size, the bulbs, that is. But again, once I harvest these, and we try to be gentle about this, if you try to just pull them straight up, they're well anchored, you may break off the stem out of the bulb, and that will cause them not to store well. So we loosen the soil gently with a digging fork, and then take them out, gently brush the soil off them. Don't bang them together or bang them against the side of a garden box or against the side of the digging fork, because they'll bruise. So we'll be kind of gentle with these things.
Right.
And brush off what soil we can, hang them up in bunches, leaves, stems, and roots are still attached, in a dry, warm place, 70 to 80 degrees, and allow them to cure, and the bulbs will pull some of the good stuff, some of the nutrients out of those still somewhat green leaves. And after about 3 weeks or so, then we can go along and trim off the roots, cut down the stems to about an inch or two above the bulb, and then keep them in storage. And not cool storage, but again, 60 to 70 degrees for long-term storage is really ideal to keep them.
Right, because you need it to stay dry, and if it's too cool, then, you know, that'll increase the moisture in the plant, right?
Well, also, if they're too cool, like if I were to take some of my garlic bulbs after I've got them cured, and if I were to refrigerate them, say, then it's like the bulbs get the signal, it's like as if they were in the ground, in the cool soil, and they would get that's the signal that it's time to start growing roots again,
right,
which we don't want them to.
They'll sprout.
You know, so
yeah.
Normally when we plant in October, that they will start to grow roots. They won't grow tops, just roots to anchor them in the soil, which is what most other bulbs do, lilies and tulips and daffodils will do.
Mm-hmm.
So we don't want that. That's why we're keeping them warm and dry, comparatively. 60, like I said, 55 to 70 degrees is perfect. And I've done that with some of mine. I still have a handful of one variety called Music Garlic that I'm still eating from last year, which is unusually long storage. But, again, they were just kept on a tray in one corner on a shelf in the corner of my kitchen, and they're still nice and firm and tasty and all that. And I really need to eat them up because I've got all this fresh garlic now.
So maybe those ones lasted a little better just because the harvest moment was just spot on perfect for them. You cured them the best way they could be, and boom, they last all year. So one other little note.
They can. Yep. And so again, the other ways that we can keep them, particularly if we've got some of these, like I mentioned, these naked cloves, ones that aren't perfect, we know when they're not going to keep long. We can heat them up. This is something I do. I'll make sure they're peeled. I'll even dip them briefly in some heated vinegar, and then they can go into and heat up olive oil or other oil, canola oil or whatever your favorite kind of oil is. But you need to heat them. You do not want to store raw garlic in oil without it having been heated, because there's the potential for botulism to develop under the anaerobic conditions.
Oh, my. Okay. So
if you heat them up in the oil, then of course it perfumes the whole house.
Mm-hmm. Nice.
And then you just put it into a jar, and with the oil, the garlic and the garlic will soften some. So then you can use that in cooking. The oil can also be used in cooking. You can use it for making salad dressings and such too.
Yeah.
But you still want to refrigerate the jars of garlic in heated olive oil or whatever kind of oil.
Gosh. Yeah, that sounds like a good way to handle. And those are going to be when you've harvested your garlic and there's some heads or cloves that the skins aren't in perfect shape, right? So you won't really be able to cure and store those.
You know, and of course you can also, make large quantities of pesto or chimichurri. And that also, I normally freeze that, and that is real simple. Mm-hmm. You chop up garlic and parsley and add some salt, and then that gets covered. You can warm it up somewhat, or you can leave that raw. If you put it into olive oil, again, then you can freeze that. And that is really, really tasty. So then you can use it as pasta sauce. Mm. You can use it to baste fish or chicken or meat or whatever you want to use it for, and mix other different herbs. I normally have rosemary, oregano, and thyme that I will use in that also for very flavorful topping. You know, great on toast, on bread, on potatoes. That's good for everything.
No kidding, man. That smells delicious in my imagination. I can already, you're transporting me with just the description of that. Oh, this must be a great smelling time of year at your house.
It is. It's very fragrant. I've got garlic in two greenhouses and in my furnace room, and they all reek, but it's really a good smelling reek to my nose. And this is important too. You know, if you're consuming garlic, you should, you know, probably you and your partner of whatever sort you have should eat pretty much similar quantities of garlic to be. And as for the people around you, well, they're just out of luck. Or you share garlic with them, so they eat garlic too, and nobody had better complain.
Right, right, right. Yeah, that makes sense. Okay, so for the folks out there who've planted garlic, it's time to harvest it. We want to just give them a little recap of what we've kind of touched on, and that so there are two main indicators, right, for when you are three really. You can dig up a little bit and see the size and skin quality, or you can keep an eye on the leaves of the plant, and as half of them, did you say, yellow or fall away?
Yeah, something like that. Yeah, usually there's 6 to 8 leaves on a normal plant, something like that. And if the bottom 3 or 4 are turning yellow, and again, if assuming you're growing hardneck garlic, again, watching the scapes also as the scapes start to uncoil, then they're all telling you it's time. And if the monsoons begin, that's another indicator, time to get them out of the ground.
Go for it, yeah, right. Yeah, that would be sad. You could potentially lose a crop, right, if you're out of town or something and the heavy rains come.
Yes, if you leave them in the ground too long, right, could be serious business, and losing my garlic crop would be quite the tragedy.
Right, yeah, and the main thing that would be happening there is the skins are going to basically rot, right? And so if you harvest them after they've been saturated or something, you can probably peel them all and process them a different way, but as far as hanging them, curing them, drying them out for normal, everyday garlic clove use, you want to make sure they don't get soaked that way, right?
Yep, exactly. So, yeah, I mean, some of those could be saved if they're good enough. Again, if you're just short-term storage, again, until, say, October for replanting, you might be able to get away with using some of those naked cloves for that. So, yeah, garlic's a really valuable crop. More and more people are certainly growing it around June or around Southeast. I mean, even Alaska. And up north, it's more of a challenge because they've got colder winters, but there are hardier varieties, and the winters aren't being as cold as they used to be. So more of us can grow more garlic, and the fresh stuff we grow here is far superior to the California garlic you get in the store.
I imagine it must be. You know, it's like with carrots too. The nutrients from the cold weather, everything just really goes to the plant in the right way, and the taste is beyond compare, right?
Flavor of all our fresh vegetables. You know, the tomatoes, which are starting, my tomatoes are starting to ripen. We're going to pick some of those this weekend. You know, they taste so much better, too. Everything does. The potatoes also. They're all good, so everybody should be growing some. Or know somebody well that you can swap and trade. My fisherman gill netter friend just brought me some fish. I gave him some garlic in trade.
Yeah, that's fantastic. And then you get the additional savory flavor of your own hard work, which is the greatest seasoning of all.
It is. It definitely is.
Okay, so when people are harvesting, I'm sure later on, you know, probably in October, we'll talk again about maybe planting garlic, but when people are harvesting, they want to think about setting aside some unpeeled, good condition cloves, right, for planting later on.
Yeah, choose the biggest and best, because, again, the bigger clove that you plant, the larger the bulb that you should get back next year. So that is something to set those aside. I mean, they're big and beautiful, and they're easy to peel, but set those biggest ones aside and just think about that, how much you want to grow and, you know, how much you're going to need for replanting. Otherwise, you have to order some from a catalog. And if folks don't have garlic or don't have access to it, now is the time to order garlic, which will then be shipped to you, to gardeners, usually after mid-September. I'm just looking at one of my seed catalogs. Territorial seeds, and that's what they say. Usually after September 15th, the garlic will be shipped.
Okay, so you recommend Territorial seeds as a place for gardeners to get plantable garlic?
They're a good one. There are others. There's Johnny's Selected Seeds in Maine. Territorial is in Oregon, and there are others. Certainly folks can contact me, and I do sell garlic for planting too.
Yeah.
So all of that possibilities.
Well, then that would be my recommendation, is get in touch with Ed. What's your phone number for people if they want to reach you, or how do you prefer to be contacted by people.
My number in Juneau is 209-8905. Folks can call me, and they can mail, you know, send garlic through the mail.
Yeah, cool. Well, this has been very illuminating about one of my favorite of all plants. You know, there's rare is a meal that I make that doesn't have a bit of garlic in there.
Yeah, mine too.
And that olive oil or oil-infused garlic, that sounds like a really great idea. I've started infusing oils with peppers and things like that, mainly from popping popcorn in. And boy, oh boy, I bet that garlic oil would make some amazing popcorn.
Sure, there's an option. Yep, there's lots of possibilities. I haven't done it. I know coconut oil, we use coconut oil for popcorn, and there's another choice.
Oh, yeah.
Avocado oil is a good one Costco has here. Mm-hmm. All of those are good, and canola oil or safflower oil. So yeah. All of those are good. Just remembering that when you refrigerate the olive oil, at least, if you're making the pesto or whatever, that it tends to harden up. So that's not a bad thing.
No, that's not a bad thing. With popcorn for me, I do a spoonful of coconut oil, which is stored in kind of a cool place so it's hardened up, and then I could reach into the fridge, pull out my garlic-infused olive oil, and put another spoonful in the old whirly pop, and away I go.
That's right. Sounds good.
Okay. Well, I guess we didn't really have a lot of callers calling in, but maybe we'll talk more with callers next week.
All right.
And
sounds good.
I'll let you go, Ed, and thank you so much. This has been an awesome look into the wonderful world of garlic. And again, for people who are getting ready to plant their own garlic, you should get in touch with Ed. Ed, what's your number one more time for people?
Sure. The number is 209-8905. And thanks to everybody for listening.
Thank you. Yeah, thanks, listeners. Thank you very much. Ed Biarski calling in from Juneau with that wisdom. All right.
Okay, till next week. Thanks, Arn.
Thank you, Ed. All right, till next week. Bye-bye. All right, this has been In the Garden, my debut as your gardening program host. I'll get the hang of this one, too. Mindy's a tough act to follow because she's got that expertise. But it's been a pleasure to speak with you all about it. And support for In the Garden comes from the Flower Farm. And they still have trees available. Cherry, apple, katsura, mountain ash, golden chain, maple, dogwood, and chokecherry, as well as colorful dahlias for summer bouquets and subscriptions for never-ending color. They're open 10 to 5 every day except Wednesday at 6 Rory Road, Papke's Landing. And we've got Leo Luksak here for your High Country show. He's coming up next. Thank you so much for listening. This is Orrin Pearson in the Garden.
Put them on the side, put them in the middle. Put a homegrown tomato on a hot cake griddle.
Homegrown tomatoes, homegrown tomatoes. What'll life be without homegrown tomatoes? Only two things that money can't buy.